Members of the Catholic Association of Latino Leaders, known as CALL, a national Catholic Hispanic lay leadership organization founded by Archbishop Jose Gomez in the United States, recently concluded a series of meetings here at the Vatican. The meetings with seven pontifical councils was intended to initiate a dialogue concerning the large and growing Hispanic Catholic influence in the United States and in the Church in the U.S. and the world. The group also met with the U.S. Ambassador to the Holy See, Dr. Miguel Diaz, where he shared his perspectives as both a theologian and as the U.S. government's representative to the Vatican. The Vatican meetings concluded on Saturday, April 10th. Irene Lagan spoke with two of CALL's founding members, Martha Sardina Fernandez, the director of evangelization for the Archdiocese of San Antonio, Texas, and Andres Russo, CEO of Link America in Dallas. First, tell us why Latino leaders are so important. You had some significant meetings here at the Vatican, and the Vatican is very aware of the Latino population, especially in the United States. So tell us a little bit about CALL and about your mission and what you do. Is it just in the United States?
Well, those are great questions, and thank you for hosting us here. I am Andres Russo, and I am a founder of CALL. We started 4 years ago with CALL, Catholic Association of Latino Leaders, and we are an array of business people, entrepreneurs, intellectuals, people that are engaged in education, people that are engaged in communication, leaders that actually make an impact in our communities throughout the states. It was founded by Archbishop Gomez from San Antonio. By the way, he was coming with us to our meeting, and unfortunately he's not here. But fortunately, he was elected as Archbishop of Los Angeles, and he's the co-adjutor of the Los Angeles Diocese. From what I hear, is one of the biggest dioceses in the U.S., and also from what I hear, is that is the probably that has the most Latinos and most.
I think that's correct. It's the largest diocese and has the most Latinos.
When our meetings here, which we've had with a number of pontifical councils and commissions, including social communications, the Congregation for Bishops, for the Synod of Bishops, for the laity, and so forth, almost all of those who have received us, which have included cardinals and archbishops, bishops, and some of their secretaries, they have all pointed out that this appointment by Pope Benedict XVI of Archbishop Jose H. Gomez, as the Archbishop Coadjutor with rights of succession to Los Angeles is a clear sign that the Church Universal recognizes precisely these numbers that you've asked us to share with you of these 45 million Latinos in the United States, plus another 12 million undocumented Latinos that are having an impact on our society.
And the majority are Catholic, is that correct?
The vast majority, I think 40% or so of Latinos in the United States are Catholic. And we are the fastest growing minority, if you will, in the United States and the fastest growing group within the Catholic Church. A third of Catholics already are of Hispanic descent, whether you are born in Latin America and have migrated or like myself, born in the U.S. and I actually migrated out of the U.S. and then came back, or whether you're first or second or third or fifth generation. In a few years, we will be 50% of Catholics in the United States will be of Hispanic or Latino descent.
Just for clarification now, Latino leaders, Hispanic, is there a difference in terms? And when we're talking Latino, my understanding is you're from Peru, you're from Dominican Republic. Oftentimes people think Mexico, but it's not just Mexico. It's a huge range.
It's a huge array. It's a basket weaved of different nationalities. I mean, we have to acknowledge that Mexicans are probably 60% of the 45 million of Mexican descents. But the reality, you have Puerto Ricans, you have Peruvians, you have Chileans, you have, and this group that we brought here, about 30 of us, we had several different nationalities, many even Chicanos. Chicanos are first, second generation Mexican born in the U.S. Right?
And our group itself is very representative of the situation of Latinos or Hispanics, you could use it interchangeably, in the United States, precisely because some are born in various countries of Latin America, and some are born in the U.S., whose parents, like in my case, were immigrants, and some of us have left the United States and come back and so forth. So that is the reality of Latinos or Hispanics. There are many who are children of immigrants, or some are themselves immigrants. Some migrate. Some have dual nationality and dual residence. For example, one of our call members that was with us works and lives both in Venezuela and the U.S., though he's from Peru. Now, why is this significant? It's important to mention because precisely your question, when we say Latinos or we say Hispanics, we're talking about a lot of different nationalities with a common language, with similarities in culture, and in our case, CALL, the Catholic Association of Latino Leaders, absolutely committed to the faith in full communion with the church, with our local bishops, with the United States Episcopal Conference, and in full communion and loyalty to the Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI.
Now, my understanding is you're largely a lay group. To me, that says something about, or does it, CALL's mission and the
Absolutely.
Origins of CALL coming up from the laity and the laity recognizing issues that need to be dealt with. And maybe you can talk a little bit about that and also what kinds of issues that you see and what the Vatican itself is concerned about.
Well, I think when we started, we studied Ecclesia in America, written by John Paul II, right? And to me, as a businessman and as a that loves Christ and wants to live his faith on a daily basis, was really an eye-opener. I saw the Pope telling us, like a general, get into politics, get into education, get into your business, evangelize, take your faith, live it, right? And that was the first meeting that we have. We talked about Ecclesia in America. So to us, as lay people, we have a mission, we have a purpose. And also, when you talk Americas, it's all of Latin America, right? All the Spanish-speaking people. And the Pope was saying very clearly that the next evangelization, large evangelization, is going to come through the Americas. We're going to be the guys who are going to be pulling the faith to where it's supposed to be.
And to add to that, the universal call to evangelization or mission and the universal call to holiness that all of us are called to, and especially the laity, have awakened their awareness. We have been awakened to the awareness of this twofold call. That is what CALL, the Catholic Association of Latino Leaders, is responding to. We are called to be saints in the world, and we are called to transform, to be leaven in the world. If you're a businessman or woman, if you are in academia, you're in politics, you are in ministry, you are in communications, how are we bringing the gospel message and the values of the Catholic Church to bear fruit in the world?
How do you evangelize? How do you bring forth
the message
of the gospel?
The situation in Texas, as well as some other places in the southwest of the United States, is interesting because right there you see all those various groups that may or may not identify themselves as Latino or Hispanics if they're first generation or second or fifth. Some did not cross the border. The border crossed them because of the history of Mexico and Texas and what was the United States and so forth. How do we evangelize? There's a number of ways in which the Office for Evangelization equips Catholics to both live the faith fully and share it freely. And one thing that we do is we help parishes create parish evangelization teams or committees, a group of 8, 10, 12 committed lay men and women who will study the primary documents on evangelization, understand what it is, what it's not, how we go about it in a variety of ways, which will first and foremost include testimony of life. You're a witness of life. You have to live what you proclaim. You know, the saying, you must walk the walk and not just talk the talk. But then also how to articulate your faith experience, give a testimony of how Christ and the church have impacted you, to be able to have a clear and articulate exposition or explanation of the faith. We train people in apologetics, how to explain the faith and defend it when it's being attacked. We help various groups and lay ecclesial movements. I work with lay ecclesial movements and new communities that the church recognizes as a fruit of the Holy Spirit within the last 40, 60 years and longer. Help each spirituality have an impact on the life of Catholic Christians. And then, of course, I also use the media. I have a TV program on Catholic Television of San Antonio and a radio show also on Guadalupe Radio Network, which is Catholic radio in South Texas.
I'm struck by the fact that you're a young laywoman, TV show, radio show. I know you have a blog. You write articles. I don't know that that's repeated in too many dioceses in the United States.
I love the idea of it being a model. There have been dioceses that have actually closed offices for evangelization, and some have not ever had one. And I think it's a great idea that others take the lead to have someone or several people specifically dedicated, investing all of our time and talent and treasure to understand the various ways in which we evangelize and to equip people to do so, and support other offices and agencies that also evangelize, whether it's the catechetical department, whether it's the Catholic education and Catholic schools, youth ministry, young adult ministry, the seminary. And I interact and serve all of those as well with various training seminars and resources and so forth.
Now, you as a business leader in Dallas, you have a communications company.
Yes.
So taking this evangelization, this mission for evangelization into business, how do you do that?
Well, it's a great question also. In Dallas, we're the largest minority. We're 42% of Dallas. You know, then we have another 25% African Americans, and the rest is Anglos. So we need to graduate from being a minority to think like a majority first. Mm. And I participate in many boards and organizations, but definitely our faith is our driver, right? Our values, our virtues that we try to live with. And one of the things that we saw is that Hispanics have a vacuum. I mean, we have the numbers, but we don't participate. We don't engage in the process. And we're trying to move into the political process. And then when you see the church and saying, get involved, but bring your faith, you know, live your faith in the political process. So part of that was, hey, there's a question asking for an answer, and the answer was, let's build an organization that brings all these leaders together that can have an impact in our communities, in all our dioceses throughout the states, that we happen to be Latinos, right? Because Latinos are faithful. We have a lot of God-given things that are good for our community. Family. In the U.S., we are the stronghold of family. I mean, we have great family ties. You know, our faith is another stronghold that we have. So bring those best practices that we have and impact our community. Now, call is becoming a channel. And believe me, after seeing all these cardinals and having all these great meetings, the church needs us.
Now, what about some of the issues that are facing family, but also things like abortion?
I'm glad you brought that up because there are all kinds of things that in society are becoming normative. And as Catholic Christians are being swayed many times by values that are anti-values. They are considered values, but they are not. They are anti-values, and there's a demise of the family and of Christian values. And so in a certain sense, we're becoming more and more a pagan society. And we don't really realize it. I don't know if you've heard the little story of the best way to boil a frog to death is to put him in warm water and then turn up the heat, because the frog won't realize that he's being boiled. But if you have boiling water and you throw it in, it'll jump. Well, what's happening is that slowly we've been sort of in society been taught to, in evangelizing quotes, not with a different gospel. And as St. Paul would say, one comes along with another gospel other than the one I preached, and you so quickly accept it. And we see that happening, and so individuals like ourselves and Call as an organization are committed to bringing people's attention to the fact that we are slowly being boiled to death, that our gospel values are being erased. And, for example, some of the initiatives that many of us work with on the individual level in the various cities, because we come from all over the United States, and also as an organization, we will probably be taking on some of these issues, are things like the dignity of every human person, whether he or she enters the United States with or without documents, the dignity of the human person. We uphold the dignity of the family as taught by the church, one man with one woman open to life. We have taken stances last year for the elections in the United States. We had a number of associates of Call put together some position papers on various issues like immigration, like abortion, euthanasia, and other things that we clearly stand with the church on. And we are committed to being a voice in the Latino community to help people recognize the value of Catholic teaching and to speak loud and clear to Congress, to legislation, and to anyone and everyone about what we hold.
Now, turning to your meeting here at the Vatican, what do you take away from it?
Well, right now, I feel, I don't want to say a burden, but I feel a lot of responsibility. We came here to the Mother Church, and they embraced us, and they opened the doors, and they put the red carpet, and they say, hey, not only help us, but please come join us on our fight, right? Because the church is going, we all acknowledge, through a tough time right now. However, we're going to go back to the design board to try to find one, two, or three things that we can impact in the short, medium term that are, from my perspective, have to be scalable. and it has to be something that responds to the needs that are so huge in short term. So me being a communication guy, I've been proposing to say, hey, I build networks, right? So I redes. So as I build networks, and we need to connect people. They give us an example. They say they came up with one email for the Pope that anybody can write to the Pope, but they didn't want to do it as the Vatican. They wanted to do it as .net domain name. And in 1 month, he got 5 million emails from people that were kids, that were Muslims and Jewish, just thanking him, everything positive. 5 million in 1 month, that's what technology gives us. So one of the things that we need to really focus is, okay, where do we want to make an impact and how? Part of that, I think, has coupled with, in terms of communications, once we build the networks, right, the las redes, is the content. We have so much content. Our church is full of great content. It just has to be distributed. It has to be shared. And that's kind of part of my vision, at least, to because that's what I've been trained to, and I've been doing it for 30 years.
On my end, I would say that I leave here also, like Andres, with a great sense of responsibility. We have been privileged, extremely privileged, in all that we've been about during this week, even the place where we were lodged and the halls that we have walked and the people we've met with. And so with privilege comes responsibility, and I have a clear sense of that. I cannot go back to business as usual after this visit that the Catholic Association of Latino Leaders has had here. Three things apart from that I would mention, actually four. One is prayer. Most of the secretaries and so forth asked us to pray. Pray for the Holy Father, pray for their initiatives and their efforts and their work. And I take that very seriously. Mm-hmm. Number two, there was a specific request from Archbishop Celli in the Pontifical Council on Social Communications to utilize all mass media more effectively and to make sure that we are very good communicators and that we help priests, seminarians in their formation to become good communicators. Cardinal Peter Caldwell Turkson from the Pontifical Council on Justice and Peace specifically asked us to, as businessmen and women and leaders in various arenas, to study Caritas in Veritate, specifically look at the areas that pertain to each of our domains and areas of influence and respond. They want feedback, he said. And third, in the Vatican Secretary of State, we met with Monsignor Wells and also Monsignor Cushley, and they said these are very trying times for the Holy Father individually and for the Church as a whole. It will be, these are difficult times, and in any way that we can support clarifying before the secular and Catholic media what the real issues are, any contribution in that regard will be welcome and helpful, and so we're committed to keeping all of them in our prayers and helping in any way we can. Amen. Look us up online, call, call-usa.org. You can also find it at hispanicleaders.net, I believe it is. It'll transfer you there, but it's call -usa.org. On there you will find the names of the board members and the chairman, and there are some faith formation items on there as well. If someone is interested in becoming a member of CALL, you can express interest right there by contacting us. The chairman of the board is Mario Paredes, and the president and CEO is Robert Aguirre, and or any of the others who are listed there, and we'd be happy to have anyone who is a Latino leader or is committed to the Latino or Hispanic issues and agenda and is a Catholic and is in full communion with the Church